Welcome again to Voice of Reason Radio. Today is October 6, 2018. Yes, it is a Saturday. Appreciate you guys giving us an extra day. We always try to hit this on a Friday as much as we can, but it's a Saturday. So thank you for bearing with us. It's not the four-week sabbatical that we took. It is only one day. But we thank you for being with us this week. If you are new to Voice and Reason Radio, let me introduce you to the program. My name is Chris Honholtz. I am here with my good friend and fellow host, not co-host, but fellow host, Richard Story. How you doing tonight, Rich?
Oh, brother, I'm better than I deserve, and just thankful that we actually are on a roll. This is 2 weeks in a row that we're attempting to put out a podcast.
Let's pray that the podcast gremlins stay away from us. Skype already gave us a little bit of a headache, and then our recording device tried to tell me there was no SD card in there when there was, so... So hopefully those are the only gremlins we have for the rest of the evening. But as we said, this is Voice of Reason Radio. What is Voice of Reason Radio? It is a Christian program between two brothers in Christ. We are not pastors, elders, or trained theologians. Do not try this at home. We are not even experts. But we do this from two different points in the country. Rich over there in Mississippi, myself here in Nevada. It is just two brothers in Christ who love nothing more than to talk about the things of God with the people of God, you who get to tune in and listen. And the reason that it is called Voice of Reason Radio is there is only one voice of reason, and that is the Word of God. It is the Word of God that we should always view all issues of our life through that lens. God's Word is the foundation of everything that we believe and how we practice and live. So that's why we call it Voice of Reason Radio. And if you're an atheist that thought this was Voice of Reason, some other program, we welcome you. Please tune in. Please listen to us. Maybe you'll learn something. If you would just want to mock us, well, that's up to you. You're welcome to. But we would love for you to tune in and listen. And if you're new to the program, welcome. If you have been one of our faithful listeners for over 2 years now, I think it is, Rich, we've been doing this. Welcome again. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for continuing to pray for us. Rich, it sounds like we had some feedback from our last program. There were some folks that shared it that I saw their comments that was a good program. It was helpful and informative, and I think some folks benefited from last week's program. What do you think?
Well, I hope so. Some of the comments that I saw appearing in our news feed was very encouraging, and I'm thankful that if anything we said, you know, the Lord used to help somebody else in some way or give them some bit of hope or encouragement. But after your introduction, I was kind of like, okay, that's a wrap. We'll talk to you next week.
It's only been 3 minutes. We haven't even done our normal 10-minute rambling intro yet. Don't abandon me yet here, brother.
I know, but that was just so good. I just don't know if there's anything left to be said to top it.
Oh, I can't imagine a topic on October 6, 2018, following the nomination of a certain controversial...
Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I did the math. This month is actually exactly 2.5 years since we started doing Voice of Reason Radio.
My word. And you all are still here. What amazing grace and mercy from God that we still have an audience. And actually, I think it's grown a little bit.
And it's almost, put this in perspective, how fast this year has gone by. It's already almost, it's approaching mid-October, which means it's not Halloween, but all the Christmas decorations are out in all the department stores, and it's time to start that Christmas shopping.
As my pastor has often said, when you see the Halloween decorations, you know that, or the Christmas decorations, Halloween is almost here. So,
completely off track, but is it just me, or does it seem like every year they're putting them out just a little bit earlier and a little bit earlier? Trying to get people to go ahead and jump on the Christmas shopping bandwagon.
I'll tell you what actually surprised me was there's always those temporary stores that come up for Halloween with all the decorations and costumes. Normally, like, you roll into October, that's when they start opening up. They were opening up in September here in Nevada. And I'm like, wait a minute, what? So everybody's starting early. It's getting weird. And it was still technically summer, and we had the Spirit Halloween stores open up. It was kind of creepy. But yeah, I think you're right. It's every year there's just a little bit earlier just to try and get a few extra dollars in.
Well, I have to say this much. For this time of the year, for the rest of you that live in a very humid, warm climate like I do, it's the best time of the year to buy summer clothes, because here in Mississippi, that's pretty much year-round clothing. And my son coming the other day talking to me, and I don't know which online shopping place he was at, but he was talking about he got like 3 or 4 short sleeve shirts and 2 or 3 pairs of shorts and something else. And it was like $50, and he got free shipping, and it was all this clearance stuff that, you know, these major department stores start putting on clearance. And, you know, at the end of September, it's time to start clearing out all the summer gear and start bringing in all the summer wear. So,
oh my goodness.
I just found it amusing. I don't know if anyone else will, but I did.
Well, up here in the northern desert of Nevada, up in the northern part of the state, it's getting chilly. It's getting kind of cold in the mornings, and actually, I'm nervous because we're going for one last camporee with the Trail Life group next week, and we're going to be in northern, you know, California, near Nevada City, and it's gonna be cold, and I don't want to do that.
That's the best camping weather, brother. Oh, that's when that's when, you know, you really need that thick sleeping bag and the campfire burning, and no mosquitoes and no other little creepy crawler bugs necessarily.
Yeah, and you freeze to death in the middle of the night.
Yeah, but that's the time of the year you have to really watch out for snakes, because the ones that haven't went ahead and started their hibernation cycle, that's the ones that want to slip into the sleeping bag with you and kind of warm up a little bit.
Great. Great. I'm going to have a whole new
next to you.
Whole new irrational fear next week courtesy of my fellow host here. Great. Thank you. Because now I'm not going to sleep a wink that weekend. I appreciate that, Richard. Goodness.
Well, I'll make sure to remind you before next weekend.
Yeah, no, I don't doubt you will. Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to the latter part of this month, because my wife and I will be celebrating 17 years of marriage towards the end of this month. That's 17 years that the woman who has the patience of Job has had to put up with this knucklehead. So pray for her, because she needs it.
You're not too many years behind me. I think the next one will be... Uh-oh, I'm in trouble. I think it's 24. My mind went blank. It's too late for me to have to do math. I kind of blanked out there for just a moment.
You know, actually, the funny thing in our marriage is that my wife is usually the one asking me. You know, it's like, it's which day again? And it's how many
years? I can remember the date, but I generally have trouble with the year.
Well, I'm fortunate. In one way, I'm kind of fortunate, because... right before a month and a half before our wedding was the ill-timed September 11th, and so knowing that that September 11th, 2001 was just a month plus before our wedding is what helps me remember the year. And then the reason the date's always a confusion is that we met on October 28th of 2000, and we tried to get married to the day, and we made it. It had to be October 27th because, well, Sunday the church was busy. So we couldn't get the church for that day. So we had to do it the day before. And that's often why there's a little bit of confusion, is that which day is it again?
Well, I'll have to say, I don't know if it was planned specifically for this. But I have to say, I believe my dad was a genius. Because when he and my stepmom got married, it was on Valentine's Day. And now that's also their anniversary, and it's also her birthday, so he gets like 3 in 1.
The man is an evil genius. we bow down at his wisdom. That is so awesome. Smart man.
I don't know about you, but I've had a very slow, very calm, very boring week, and I am so thankful. I have not slept well, but it has been very calm and very boring, and I am so thankful for that. And if you listen to last week's show, you'll understand why.
Yes, please listen to last week's show. how we deal with faith in terms of trials is very important. And I will say, Rich, that much like yourself, most of my week has been, except for, some busyness at work, has been relatively smooth. However, we have, and I cannot go into details because it is not mine to tell, but I have extended family members who are facing a very difficult time right now, and it's an impact on all of us. And so we would just ask that you pray for my extended family, aunts and uncles and cousins and those involved, related. It's going to be a difficult time. And so we just ask, lift them up in prayer. God knows the circumstances, and, we'll leave it at that. But, Rich, it's nice when God lets the waves that have been crashing on top of your head calm for a bit and lets you get your legs back underneath you. It's been quite a ride for both of us, but, I confess that in light of today's events with the confirmation of now Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh, and he took oath of office today. I saw the pictures. I guess they weren't going to let any grass grow under his feet. With everything that's going on right now in the country, it almost kind of makes the stuff we've gone through look pale in comparison as the chaos perhaps that is starting to ensue. Wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely. And I saw something happen today that I do not recall ever happening before. I was watching a college football game this afternoon. They actually broke in with breaking news talking about the fact that they confirmed Kavanaugh today on a Saturday, and then they did like a 3-minute spill on the whole thing before they went back to the ball game. I'm not too sure if maybe they didn't have a technical timeout or something during the game just to clear up that announcement. But I've never seen something when it comes to, a presidential nominee, regardless of the office, carry so much contention and so much, just vile spewing and just all kinds of nasty stuff on both sides going on. I think I may have tweeted this, that I learned one thing over the last 3 months. Whether it's left wing or right wing, I cannot talk. Left wing or right wing is both connected to the same bird brain. And that's the only way to describe some of the actions by people on both sides of the argument over the last 3 months. And, I made a joke to my son that, he better watch it and pay very close attention to what he's doing as a young man in his early 20s, because if he ever runs for political office, the fact that he snatched the last piece of pizza from one of his buddies liable to come back and haunt him. And yeah. I'll throw this out, then I'll be through with the jokes. In this day and age, if you have no skeletons in your closet, if you run for political office, don't worry, somebody will plant some in there for you.
Yeah, no, and that is no joke. That's unfortunate. That's kind of like Babylon Bee trying to be satirical and actually being prophetic. It's getting kind of scary out there. To recap, if you've been living under a rock for the last few months, then my first
question, with no internet.
And my question is, how did you find this program if you don't know what's going on? but if you haven't really been paying attention, which is kind of hard, President Trump nominated Brett Kavanaugh for Supreme Court Justice. A lot of people went into full panic mode saying Brett Kavanaugh was going to overturn Roe v. Wade and he can't be confirmed. And from what I'm learning of Brett Kavanaugh, I don't believe he's nearly as conservative and a constitutionalist as many of those of us who are conservative and constitutionalists would like him to be. Look up Judge Andrew Napolitano talking about Kavanaugh's involvement with things like Patriot Act, or how he didn't find that the government was at fault for spying on a phone conversation for a guy talking to a book dealer overseas when they had no warrant, and he said there was no crime and no lawsuit to be filed because the government never tried to prosecute him. Just some Fourth Amendment issues there. Okay, so just so you know, not a Kavanaugh acolyte. This is not about propping up Judge Kavanaugh. I don't think he's going to be the savior of the Republic, as some people might think. Anyway, get that aside. So he gets nominated. The biggest fear on the left was that this is the man they're going to use to overturn Roe v. Wade and abortion is going to be made illegal. God forbid that we would stop murdering babies. Heaven help us that we think that's a big deal. Anyway, so from that point forward, the confirmation process started. And for Rich, what did they say? 7 weeks, 8, 9 weeks, something like that. Senator Feinstein had a letter in her possession that she did not bring up during the hearings, did not question Kavanaugh when she had private conversations with him, and nothing was never brought to anyone's attention until the hearings were closed, and then suddenly, miraculously, this issue about her being in possession of this letter leaks to the press, and she tries to claim that she had nothing to do with that. Right.
And to clarify, just so the listeners aren't confused and to make sure I'm not confused, are you speaking of the anonymous letter that surfaced that had no, you know, the person did not reveal their identity and no real substantial facts were offered in the letter? Is that the one you're speaking of?
That's the one. That, amazingly, that's the one. And it found its way to the media. Media made a big kerfuffle about it because the allegation was that Brett Kavanaugh had assaulted a young a woman when he was in his teens, that he and she had been at a party when they were 17 years old or some such. Alcohol was involved, and that he had gotten her off to a room, covered her mouth, tried to have his way. It did not happen. She got out, and that was the end of it. Now, that's a terrible thing. If that was the, if that actually happened, let's just saying, you know, all this we're about to discuss, if that happened, that is a terrible, sinful act. And any person who does that, I fear for you the day you stand before God. Because whatever justice may or may not happen in this life, you will stand before God on Judgment Day.
And your only hope on Judgment Day is true salvation in Jesus Christ.
Amen. So you will not escape God's justice, even if you escape man's. And you had better get yourself right with God. And here's the thing. For those of you who say, well, oh, so he gets saved and he never gets held accountable. A true, truly saved person, God will bring that issue to his heart of conviction. And that true repentance will come out of that. And he will seek to make things right. Okay? So, someone, if you are someone who says, well, none of that matters because I found Jesus, that ain't right. So get that out of your head too. If you have done something wicked and evil in this way, and you have claimed to have found Christ, you better be making it right.
That brings up an interesting topic we might have to cover down the road in that situation. If someone has truly been saved and there's some horrible things in their past, but years have passed, and they have no way of contacting the person they may have wronged, how do they go about trying to ease their guilt or making things right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it's definitely a topic worth discussing. But with this issue, it became very public. And if Brett Kavanaugh, let's just say, I don't know if he is or is not a Christian. I don't know enough about him personally, other than what the bio on his page would say, to say whether he's genuinely a Christian or not. But let's assume for a second that he is. If all of this came to light and this person came forward, then Mr. Kavanaugh would have every opportunity to finally make himself, make good for what he was alleged to have done. If he has done this, as was alleged, and he didn't make it right, he's going to stand before God someday. He will not escape the justice of God if, in fact, he committed this crime. That's something that's going to play into what we're going to talk about here in a little bit, Rich. But I just want to put that out there now. As Christians, we need to be reminding people that as much as we are concerned about justice in this life, God has the ultimate say about justice, and no guilty man or woman will ever escape his justice. Justice is poured out on Jesus at the cross on our behalf if we are in him, but if we are not in him, justice is going to be poured out on us in full for eternity. God will ensure that there is not a single guilty person outside of Jesus Christ that escapes justice. So if you are someone who has had to endure listening to all these things, and it has triggered every traumatic emotion that you had to endure for many, many years, know that the person who did that to you will stand before God and face his wrath. Then unless that person is in Christ and has been repentant and has been working to make these things right, they're going to stand before God. And you know God will not let that justice lapse. There is no statute of limitations for God. So know that justice will be held on that day. So suddenly this letter drops, and what initially was a private letter to a senator encouraging to say, this is what he's done, please don't let this man become Supreme Court Justice, suddenly explodes into the limelight after the confirmation hearings are done, and we're starting to move toward the voting process. And now, because it's in the media, now the senators say, well, now we got to do something. Had all kinds of time to do it before. Now we got to do something because it's in the media. Public outrage comes out. The Me Too movement, which has done, I think, has worked hard to bring to light that there are so many women who never had the opportunity to see justice done on their behalf because the evidence was lacking or they were afraid or ashamed, has, I think, at least done something to help us remember that there are traumatized women all throughout our culture that need our love and our care. That brought out a lot of outrage because this, we're still dealing with the ramifications of that movement. And something troubling happened. And that was the assumption of guilt on the basis of allegation. And that's kind of what we wanted to talk tonight about, Rich, is that we watched something develop in the halls of government where senators were saying, this person needs to prove his innocence, rather than an allegation is made, we have to assume innocence until guilt is proven, which is the basis for our criminal justice system. It is the basis for the law of God, that there is an assumption of innocence in legal manners until evidence is produced that the person is guilty. And well, that's the concern, I think, from a Christian perspective, that's what we wanted to talk about tonight. Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'll throw out there something you told me in pre-show about something you saw posted online, that this was not a court hearing, but this was more like a job interview. But that poses the question, does that make a difference? Should we automatically assume someone is guilty when accusations are brought, or should we still give them the benefit of the doubt and assume that they're innocent, just like it would be in a court of law?
Yeah, and I think that when we look back, let's go back to the issue of what does God say about guilt. Go to, break out your Bibles, Deuteronomy 19:15. A single witness shall not suffice against a person for any crime or of any wrong in connection with any offense that he has committed. Only on the evidence of two witnesses or of three witnesses shall a charge be established. So God establishes that when someone brings to us that an individual has done wrong, that the allegation in and of itself, without any corroborating evidence, we're not just to assume guilt. This is a law for the people of Israel, but there is a biblical principle here that we are to draw from this. It's that, you know, for those of you that say, well, we're not under law, we're under grace, first thing, go back and read the whole passage, then you'll understand that there's more to it than that. But the law establishes the nature and character of God. God is concerned about, you know, he's not going to let the guilty go free. But in the realm of human justice, we assume innocence. He's established this with his people. Verse 16, he goes on to say, if a malicious witness arises to accuse a person of wrongdoing, then both parties to the dispute shall appear before the Lord, before the priests and the judges who are in office in those days. So if someone comes forward and makes a charge, and the accused says, no, I didn't, then you go before those whom would have the ability to examine it. The judges shall inquire diligently, and if the witness is a false witness and has accused his brother falsely, then you shall do to him as he had meant to do to his brother. In other words, if it is determined that the person who made the allegation is lying, and he did so for the intention of getting this person some sort of punishment, then what that punishment was meant to be is now put on the person making the allegation. The accused is found not guilty, and now the alleged or the person making the allegation gets punished.
I was just going to point out, people fail to realize that while this country may not be, and I'm sure that this would be a case of argument, this is not truly a Christian country. America is not Israel, but it is founded on Judeo-Christian values and is founded on the laws provided in the Bible.
Mm-hmm. And if you, when you look at so much of Western culture, and we go back to the Magna Carta and all these other things, the presumption of innocence is a bedrock principle, and it goes back to this kind of principle, this Judeo-Christian principle that God has established, that we assume innocence and prove guilt. And it was Dr. James White on Alpha and Omega Ministries who was addressing this just a week or so ago when I was listening to his podcast. So I'm kind of stealing this from him. Thank you, Dr. White. People would look at this in today, and they have. If you go on Twitter, you will see people say this. Well, if you tell people that, then people who have been abused will not come forward. I understand that. But there's a reason God established this. Why does he say it? He says, "So you shall purge the evil from your midst." Verse 20, "And the rest shall hear and fear and never again commit any such evil among you." Why does God say there has to be evidence, there has to be testimony, there has to be witnesses? Because God does not want an innocent man to be convicted of wrong that he didn't do. God is interested in truth. God wants the evil to be held guilty. And as we said earlier, this is where this comes into play. And I take this from Dr. White. I think he made a wonderful argument here. If a man escaped guilt in this life, he will not escape guilt before God. He will be held accountable. So God was concerned about establishing a legal system that says, assume the innocence, prove the guilt, so that we do not have a culture where people are wrongfully accused so that some terrible punishment that they did not deserve befalls them. And so to answer your earlier question, Rich, when we look at this, God does not want us to hold accountable someone who is guiltless. And so if you are a business, if you are a government entity, if you are law enforcement, what is the basis for guilt? It is the testimony, the witnesses, the evidence that can be brought together to confirm a person's allegation to be true, so that they are rightfully held accountable. And yes, that means that there is a strong possibility that someone may go free because the evidence is lacking. And it is one of the banes of the criminal justice system that when we believe that we have to presume innocence, that we know guilty people will go free because we lack the evidence. And it's frustrating, and there is not a law enforcement officer in existence that doesn't want to beat his head into the wall when he watches a guilty man go free because of the protections that our legal system offers. And I think whether it's anything, if we are talking from a Christian perspective, whether it's a job interview or whether it's a legal investigation, if we live in a culture that says the allegation in and of itself is sufficient to assume guilt, we are fighting against God. We are fighting against His very principles in Scripture that say we assume innocence, not guilt. And Rich, that's why I think when we watch what happened with the Kavanaugh hearings, this isn't about the politics. Because honestly, I don't think Brett Kavanaugh is going to overturn Roe v. Wade. I think it's such a hot button topic that any politician knows it's not going to get overturned. And if he says he's going to do it, it's probably to get himself elected. And if he tries to two-step it, it's because he knows it'll cost him votes.
Well, my question is, we've had a Republican president now, what, 2 years, mm-hmm. thereabouts? Has Planned Parenthood been completely defunded yet?
Nope.
Okay. Why would the election of a Supreme Court justice do anything to change that one way or the other?
And that's exactly the question.
Because when it comes to the issue of abortion being legal in this country, it will never be overturned. Most specifically because of treaties the United States has with the UN and other countries around the world. And I will say this, I'm no Trump fan, but if there's a president that is willing to defy the UN, it would be Trump.
Yep.
So if that's the case, why is Planned Parenthood, who spent multi-millions of dollars opposing Kavanaugh, why are they still receiving taxpayer dollars?
Well, and again, I think that's where you and I are trying to make sure people understand this is not about us supporting Kavanaugh because we think he's going to, you know, restore the republic or he's going to overturn Roe v. Wade. That's not at all in any way, shape, or form that we're discussing here. What we're discussing is there is a principle that we saw drawn out during these hearings. And with the confirmation process, we watched echoed around the country that as soon as that allegation was brought to light, the assumption was Brett Kavanaugh was guilty. That man is evil. He needs to be burned at the stake. I mean, that was the mindset that we've seen. And now, it's still going on right now.
I want to throw this into the mix. And I was not joking when I said I've seen bad on both sides, mm-hmm. whether you're a liberal or conservative. I've seen bad wording, bad responses, evil actions on both sides.
Oh, yeah.
But I will say this, and this is my personal opinion, that if you're a conservative, you're guilty until proven innocent. But if you have the support of the mass media and the liberal base,
yeah.
you're innocent until proven guilty. And that's what disturbs me, is the hypocrisy within all of this. Because, you know, it seems like every time a supposed quote-unquote staunch conservative is being nominated for a high cabinet or a Supreme Court position, you know, they're evil. You know, they're going to do this, they're going to do that. What's sad is so many people bought into the lie that if he's nominated, that's going to be the end of abortion. That was nothing but liberal media hype trying to get Kavanaugh kicked out, trying to divert any true message, any true value of whether he is going to uphold the Constitution, which is actually the job of the Supreme Court, by the way. They're not in power to make laws. They're in power to enforce laws that have already been established by the Senate and the House. And as you were pointing out to me in pre-show, people know nothing these days about how the American government or civics operate, because I'm not even sure if public schools still teach a civics course.
I would say if they do, it's not what you and I were probably taught growing up. The simple fact is, and we've seen this happen, is that many people view the Supreme Court almost as the highest office in the land anymore, because it's like, well, that's where everything stops. And if we can't get our way, we just go to the Supreme Court. The problem is that people forget that all three offices, legislative, executive, and judicial, are meant to be checks and balances against each other. So believe it or not, the Constitution even affords checks and balances against the judicial branch. That's a separate issue, but it's something that if you aren't aware of, then you can fall prey to the hype, which is what happened in this case. And what I'm concerned about, and Rich, you made the point that I wanted, one of the issues I wanted to transition to.
I'm sorry.
No. You actually appreciate it, because it makes it a little bit easier to move this direction. with the idea that we, even within the halls of the Senate, we can hear this person must prove themselves innocent. And then that bleeds into the media. The media repeats it. And then it bleeds into the masses, and the masses repeat it. What does that mean for the future of religious liberty and the future of the Christian faith? Rich, what I truly believe, because, and I believe this is all, and you and I were talking about this earlier, I believe this is an extension of postmodern thinking. Let's back up to the 90s when we started getting into the idea of all truth is valid truth. And if I believe something sincerely, then you have to say that's real for you, and I cannot tell you you're wrong. Now fast forward to 2018. We've been at this for 30 years near, almost now, and it's become so embedded in our thinking that if a person comes forward and said, this person did this evil thing to me, we just automatically assume they're telling the truth. Why? Because we've been told time and again that if you say, this is my truth, we have to believe you. We have to affirm it. We have to, you know, back you up. We can't tell you you're wrong. And a legal system which demands, yes, you have made this allegation, but now we must investigate and prove it to be true, that goes completely counter to the idea of, if I say it, it's true. And I believe the reason we're seeing this unfold is postmodernism has bred a culture that is entirely emotional based. It is entirely self-centered, and it does not challenge in any way any kind of critical thinking when someone makes a claim. And so there have been people that said, well, she must be telling the truth because the idea that a woman claims such a thing, the statistics say that she's lying, the statistics are so small against that, that we must automatically assume she's telling the truth. And that is now presented as evidence to say she's clearly telling the truth because it's like 2% that are false claims. So she has to be telling the truth. And the thing is that statistics may bear that most of the time when these claims are made, that it's truthful. But it is not evidence in and of itself. And that's what I'm worried about, is that we are going to see, as culture moves forward in its effort to eradicate anything that is truly biblical, because the Bible, we go back and we say the Bible says things like evidence, it says testimony, it says witnesses. Anything that runs counter to this idea is going to be identified as hateful. It's going to be identified as damaging. It's going to be identified as destructive. And Rich, what I believe this is now we are going to see, as this becomes more the accepted belief system, that we now must move from innocent till proven guilty to guilty till proven innocent. You're going to see that turn against the Christian faith, because the culture is rapidly accepting a mindset and worldview that is counter to the Christian faith.
Well, you're already seeing, I mean, you've been seeing it for a long time in other countries, but you're seeing it more and more and more here in the United States. And basically, to me, the summary of it is, I have a right to live my life any way I want to, and you're wrong to criticize anything that I say, do, or believe, whether it goes in step with the Bible or not. Why else would you have almost every major denomination in the United States supporting same-sex marriage? Mm-hmm. Why would we even have to be addressing the debate over, can a Christian claim to be gay and still be a Christian? You wouldn't have, I mean, to me, that's the bigger issue, not the race relations hoopla that's been going on, you know, the debate over Kavanaugh and whether he will or will not end abortion. It all comes back to the truths taught in the Bible are actually being challenged. And like you said, it's emerging more and more into some form of emotionalism, to where what you feel dictates what the society should deem as true or not true. Mm-hmm. And I call it post-sanity America, because it seems like any remnant of anything sane And logical is getting thrown out the window, and it seems like it's happening faster and faster. And I know back probably 5-6 years ago, however how long it's been, when we did Cross Encounters Radio with Tony, that, you know, we spoke then that if you want to see where America's headed, look to Europe, because we're still on that same path, even with Trump as president, because, you know, as more and more of this emotionalistic mindset takes over corporate America and takes over other aspects of American culture, you know, at some point it's going to engulf all of politics. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing that getting chipped away before our very eyes.
No, absolutely. And the reason that's important for us as a Christian culture is that we are believers in the Word of God. The Word of God is truth. That is our foundational belief system. And by the way, if you reject that, then we've got a bigger problem than the debate over Brett Kavanaugh being a Supreme Court justice. If you reject the Word of God as being foundational to your belief system, you're rejecting God himself, because this is his word. And we have a separate conversation for a separate time. But as Christians, we must stand upon the Word of God. And that means we are going to run counter to a culture that says, no. If you say that the Word of God is truth, then you're holding me accountable to something I reject, and I don't believe that, and you're doing damage to me, and you have to stop that. And that's where I believe we as Christians, we need to decide right now whom we're going to serve. Rich, you've pointed out there are many churches, so-called churches today, capitulating on massively important biblical issues. Because when God says something, thou shalt not, and we say, well, the Bible doesn't really address it because we didn't know, what we're saying is God doesn't know what he's talking about. And so there are many, many churches capitulating today, and we have to decide whom we're going to serve today. Are we going to serve God? Are we going to serve his word? Are we're going to surrender in humility to his wisdom, his truth, his righteousness? Or are we going to surrender to the spirit of the age? And I fear, as we begin to watch this unfold more and more and more, my fear is we're going to see more and more churches capitulate because of the fear that is being brought up by, well, you have to believe women because they would never lie about this, except for the 2% that do. And, oh, by the way, look at all these stories of, just the woman who just recently got sentenced to prison or jail for making false rape allegations against 2 athletes at a college whose lives have now been ruined. Oh, well, that's rare. Okay, but it happens. Well, we still have to believe them. If we don't believe them, then we're saying that we're okay with rape. No, we're not. That's a false dichotomy. I posted this recently, and it got a lot of attention, that you can care about women who are hurting, who have been abused, who have been mistreated, who have been assaulted and raped, and still care about what the Word of God says about truth, about proving someone to be guilty. You can care about both because you want to do what God has said. When someone is hurting, when someone is broken, we want to minister to that person. We want to bring them to the foot of the cross where Christ himself brings healing. We want them to know that their feelings of guilt and shame can be washed away by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That in him they are new creations, and what happened to them doesn't define them. And that Christ loved them enough to purchase them and shed his blood for them. We want them to know that, because there is freedom in that. And we want them to know that the person who did this, even if they escape justice in this life, they will not escape God's justice. And then we can care about making sure that we've done due diligence, because if someone comes to you, Pastor, and says this has happened, then you better be doing due diligence. You better be working with that person. As I heard Phil Johnson talking to Todd Field on Wretched Radio, let that person know you care about them. Let them know you want justice to be done, that you need their help, that you want to investigate it, you want to bring that the truth to light and justice to be done. But if it cannot be accomplished, because there's nothing there like a 30-year allegation where the location cannot be determined, the witnesses cannot testify in behalf of the victim, and the person himself denies it, and there's nothing that can be done, then we don't jump on the bandwagon for the sake of emotionalism to make a people feel better, that we're just going to assume the guilt and destroy a person's life, because God himself says you don't do that. And Rich, what I fear is that, you know, churches will, in this hysteria to prove themselves sympathetic to those who have been hurt, are going to, those people are going to jump on a bandwagon that's going to feed this fervor even more. And that's why we got to plant ourselves on the Word of God, and we got to trust God's way of doing things, not the world's way.
Well, one thing's for sure, especially in these high-profile cases and high-profile discussions, we need to remember that most of the time we're only getting a small amount of the information, because most people play armchair judge mm-hmm. or armchair courtroom. When it comes to all this, they read a few little snippets and they jump to a conclusion and they stick with it. And, you know, because such and such is posting that this is true, I need to automatically believe them. Well, first, no, cut it out. You need to use your own brain for once and look at what's going on and trust the process to do its due diligence and let it play out, such as the Kavanaugh case. And, you know, I've learned one thing in my years, that there's always more than one side to a story, and each side's going to have its own version of what happened. And the hardest thing to do is try to figure out how much of it is true. And I'm sure you face that mm-hmm. almost every day in law enforcement. And as a parent, most people should face that if they have more than one child. Because if you have children growing up and something happens, one's going to blame the other one, and the other one's going to blame the other one, and it's just a matter of asking the right questions to try to figure out what actually happened. And it's the same thing with all of this, but just on a larger scale and more serious accusations. But we need to be balanced in our thinking. We need to step back and weigh both sides, and even then not jump to a speedy conclusion. Even if it's because, you know, we're conservative and we need to support conservatives, well,
yeah,
true, we need to give the accused the benefit of the doubt. But on the same hand, we don't need to jump on either bandwagon and automatically assume guilt or innocence. Because when it comes to all these type of debates and all these different things that's going on, we're still not privy to all the information that's getting provided to the people that are actually having to make these decisions.
Absolutely. And, you know, Rich, you're absolutely right about something else. I mean, conservative side, we've been guilty about not demonstrating, I think, care for people who are suffering. And you and I were talking about this in pre-show, and I'll bring this out now. Folks, a person waiting a long time to bring forth an allegation isn't by default lying. There are a lot of women who, because of the trauma that they've gone through, do everything possible to suppress that guilt and shame and try to move forward with their life because they don't want to revisit that. You ask anybody who has been involved in an abusive relationship, the lies that they told themselves to survive day to day. Ask any woman who was touched inappropriately by a man when they were young, or had the trauma of a trusted family friend who did terrible things to them as a child, how long they endured those things. It's traumatic. And I know there are ladies that are listening to this that go, but you, well, I'm a woman and I wouldn't wait that long. I understand. not every woman is cut from the same cloth. And Rich, you said this earlier in pre-show, not every case can be used, can a cookie cutter method be used. Trauma does things to the mind that we can't always comprehend. And I'm just going to throw a speculation. I know there's, Rich and I talked about this earlier, there's more that we could look into Dr. Ford's life where we could say, well, that may not be the case because of this and this. But let me just throw this at you to help you maybe get a better picture. Imagine you're a young woman at 17 years of age and you make the choice to go to a party, and as so many high school parties are, alcohol is involved. And again, I'm not defending what she said. I'm not saying she's right. I'm not saying she's wrong. I want you to just follow along with me for a minute. Somebody there, while you're in less than coherent, you know, control of yourself, pushes you into a room, covers your mouth, and tries to do things he shouldn't do. You get away. Nothing happened beyond the trauma of the fear that you felt. But you feel frightened, ashamed. If you go home and tell your family, they're going to know what you did. If you tell others, well, this guy, they like him and they won't believe me. And so you carry that with you for quite some time. And it messes with your thinking. And you decide, I'm going to move forward from this. It could have been so much worse. And so many other people wouldn't believe me. And I have no way to prove it. So I'm going to move forward. I'm going to put this out of my mind. And you go to college. You go away. You get a degree. You get in a career. You get into a family. And there are issues throughout your life because you've never dealt with that trauma. But you try to move forward. And people say, well, why didn't she? She's had all these other opportunities when he became a judge and he became an appellate judge and all these things. Imagine, if you would, the fact that you just don't want to deal with this person. You've put them out of your life. You've moved away from that. And then one day, because now the trauma has been coming more and more to light and things you realize you've never dealt with start to come to play and you're going to therapy, then you see this guy's face on the evening news because he's now going to be a Supreme Court justice. What do you do? Put yourself in that picture, because that is entirely possible. It does happen. There are times when women who have been abused and been hurt have done everything they could to move forward with their lives, but they've never dealt with the guilt and shame. And now something brings that all back. It happens to someone else they know. They see in a story on the evening news, this guy moves into the neighborhood. He shows up at the church or at the business. Suddenly they have to deal with this. What do they do? Now imagine you are a pastor and that happens. And that person comes in and says, this person you're bringing on board as an elder did this to me. Now what do you do? Does it bring the picture home, a little bit closer to home now? We cannot assume someone is lying because of the time. There may be more to the story, and with Ms. Ford, there does seem to be some credibility issues. I would admit that. But that's not the point of this discussion. We have a woman who every senator who listened to her said, she sounds credible. I believe something happened to her. Even the ones who voted for Kavanaugh said they believe something traumatic happened to her. They just did not believe that it was Kavanaugh who did it and had no evidence to suggest that it was. So if we have that, then we have to believe this woman's hurting, and we have to care about the fact that she's hurting, and we don't want to, you know, marginalize her and destroy her because, as Rich, you pointed out, just because he might be a guy who votes for the, or, you know, makes judgments in the way that we like, we don't ignore it. And I fear, Rich, that's also something that's happening because, as we've talked about on this program many times, the influence of politics has far too much invaded the church.
Well, that you hit the nail on the head with that statement. And, you know, I think, for me, what I hope people take away from this particular discussion is to not jump to conclusions especially when it comes to something that's, you know, high profile, this or that. But even more so than that, on a very local level, when it comes to, like you pointed out, within your church, you know, if you're a pastor and someone comes to you with this allegation against someone else, you know, you need to stop and think about it and reflect on what the Word of God has to say. And one thing's for one thing is extremely clear. You're not to make assumptions and jump to conclusions based on how you feel about the subject, the person, politics, the religion, whatever. And I think that is something that we're seeing as a result of what you pointed out about the emotionalism rampant in this country on both sides. Both sides are too quick to jump to conclusions based on issues that have nothing to do with facts. And I think that's the problem that we're seeing, whether you're liberal or conservative or whatever, that people are too quick to jump to what they want to be true or jump to what they believe to be true instead of examining what it actually has transpired.
Absolutely. And so, folks, I mean, we're hoping in all of this that what you take away are a few points, and Rich pointed out one of those being is not to jump to conclusions either way. But there's a few points that we hope that maybe this gets you thinking. This is a big topic, and there's a thousand different things we can touch on. But number one is that God himself is interested in truth. And he's made it clear that when allegations are brought forth, we don't assume the guilt. We don't assume the guilt. We investigate. We find the evidence. We've proved the guilt. And if we cannot, that does not mean that no justice will ever be found. Because if the person is truly guilty, God himself will hold them accountable. That's the first thing. That's what we can minister to those who are hurting with. That God himself will hold them accountable one day. The other thing is that what we are watching in culture today is an embracing of the irrational. Because the irrational brings some sort of emotional comfort. The irrational says, it would make me feel better to know that an innocent man might be, you know, occasionally get found guilty if every guilty person is found guilty. And there are those that have said that. There are high-profile celebrity persons who have said these things. Go to Twitter. Believe me, you'll find it. There are feminists and politicians and many, many people who are comfortable with the idea that an innocent person might get found guilty or have their life ruined if it means every guilty person gets found guilty on the issues they're concerned about. And that presents a unique issue for Christians because we run countercultural to that because the Word of God says the opposite. And as we push those issues and talk about true justice, we're going to run up against people who hate us for it. And we could easily see, and I believe it will happen, the idea of guilty till proven innocent being applied against Christians. It's happened throughout history. There's no reason to believe it cannot and will not happen in America. It's happening in other countries, in Western culture countries. It's coming here. How do you therefore live? How do you prepare? How do you prepare your church, pastor? How do you prepare your children, parents? How do we prepare ourselves for that culture? Do not stick your head in the sand. That's not an answer. And finally, we want to be ministering to people who are hurting. We don't want to just assume that because so much time went by that they must be lying. We don't want to assume because the person that is being accused is on our side that they must be innocent. In the sense that I'm not going to hear anything you have to say assumption. Yes, we presume innocence, but we do due diligence. And we investigate to see if the allegation is true. And we minister to the person who's hurting. All of this is done with a heart of compassion, a heart of love. Never should it be, as Rich, you're pointing out, both sides of this debacle, because it was, that's all it was a debacle. Both sides acting without any care for how the accused and the one making the allegations were hurting. I mean, my word, if you spent weeks being called a rapist and then you had a chance to speak and say your piece, would you not have emotional response? Brett Kavanaugh did, and that was evidence enough for all the people on the left to say, disqualified. He can't be a judge if he's going to get angry. Watch your name be dragged through the mud, folks. Watch your name be dragged through the mud and destroyed in the court of public opinion. Believe me, you're going to have an opinion. And at the same time, those of us on the conservative side automatically assuming that, you know, Dr. Ford is lying and she's, you know, she can't be hurting. This is all manufactured. People posting pictures of her during her interview with the Senate when she actually laughed or smiled and said, "See, she's lying." You have no idea what was going on during that conversation. And maybe at that moment when she actually wasn't hurting, she had a moment to relax and somebody said something that made her laugh. That doesn't prove anything. Yet we're so quick to assume, well, see, she's laughing, therefore she must be lying. Oh, Brett Kavanaugh got angry. That's proof that he's lying. That's not how, as Christians, we minister to people in those situations. So those are our thoughts on that. Hopefully that gets the ball rolling on how we should think about these issues. Remember, it's the biblical lens that we should look at, not an emotional one, not a gut reaction, but what does God say? And that should inform how we think. So, Rich, any final thoughts as we begin to close this out?
Well, I just would like to say that hopefully that, you know, if you're listening to this episode, you're one of our faithful listeners and you're spending 10 times the amount of time studying the Word of God versus watching this political yo-yo unfold in our country. That would be my encouragement, is to always spend more time in the Word of God than you do watching television or movies or, you know, political rhetoric, because ultimately, you know, without God's truth, there is no truth.
Amen. Amen. Yes, please monitor your diet of political and media intake. Too much can have corrosive effects on your mind, heart, and spirit. I think we should be informed. I don't think we should be an ignorant people, but too much is destructive, and it can lead your thinking and your behavior in directions you don't want it to go. May all of this serve to remind us of the great God that we serve. He is not ignorant of the issues going on before us. He is certainly in control of all things, as we talked about last program. And even these events, he's in complete control. And if you think, oh yes, because Kavanaugh was not confirmed today, that's proof of that. Let me just ask you, test that. How would you feel about it if Kavanaugh wasn't confirmed today and the reverse was true, it was 48-50 and he lost that confirmation? Would you still believe God is in control? Or would you believe God is up there wringing his hands going, now what am I going to do? God is in control whether people like Kavanaugh are confirmed or not. God is in control when people Dianne Feinstein create controversy for the sake of politics to get their way. And yes, I believe she knew exactly what she was doing, despite the fact that she lied and said that her office didn't release that. I actually feel bad for Dr. Ford. She has been used and abused by the Democratic Party. And now that this is over, she's going to be thrown to the curb and they will not talk to her again. You can be assured of that. And I think that every woman who has had to endure the trauma of assault rape, abuse has been played as a tool for a terrible group of people who simply want one thing, and that's power. But I sadly believe that many in the political right have ignored those hurting people for the sake of power. And we as Christians, we shouldn't be either of those. So let's trust God. Let's humble ourselves before Him. Let's do things His way. And whatever comes as a result, we trust Him and His plan. So, Rich, anything else before we go?
Just like we try to encourage everyone every time we have a show, when we have one, is to whatever you do this week, please make it a point to share the gospel at least once a day.
Amen. Thank you for being with us this week. We didn't really want to do another controversial topic, but it kind of landed in our lap, and I don't think we would have been right to ignore what happened today. So we will try to continue to push forward with some more encouraging and biblical topics to help us in our walk with Christ. But from time to time, as events like this unfold, I think it is appropriate and necessary to talk about them, because it's not like we live in a bubble. We have to live in this world, and we have to deal with it. So thank you for your time. Thank you for being with us. We look forward to spending, hopefully, next week with you. Rich, I got to figure out, you and I are going to have to figure out how to record next week, because we do have that camping trip coming up with me and my boys. And I'm going to be so cold, and now I got to worry about snakes. Thank you for bringing that up. All right.
When do you leave going on your trip?
That's going to be next Friday through the weekend. So we'll figure.
I was just going to say, maybe we can record one night next week, and you can program and schedule it to drop sometime next weekend.
Yeah, so we'll try to figure out a time, because we want to be more consistent, and we want to try and get these out more often to you. And we thank you for your patience and your kindness. And thank you again for all your input, your feedback. Thank you for sharing the program. We were grateful to see it shared so many times last week on social media. And just as a reminder, you can find us at slavetotheking.com. That's our website. You can find the links to the podcast RSS feeds or iTunes, whichever one you would like to use. You can also contact us through the website, or you can email us directly at voiceofreasonradio@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. If you're going to take issue with us, please just be polite. That's all we're going to ask you to do. Don't be, straw man and, poisoning the well and all these other things, all these logical fallacies that people love to use. Just be straight with us. Tell us where you're coming from, and bring your Bible verses in context, please. Please don't throw a weird Bible verse at me and then have no context for it and say that proves your point. Just simply not going to deal with that. If you're an atheist and you stumbled on our show because it said reason in the title, and you've managed to deal with the migraine for an hour, and now you want to come screaming at us, again, be polite, be nice, and we will be respectful back to you as well. You can also find us on the Twitter feeds at Voice of VOR Radio. Excuse me, at VOR underscore Radio. VOR underscore radio. That's our Twitter feed. You can also find Rich and I on Twitter, and you can find us on Facebook. Just look for Voice of Reason Radio. Make sure you have the whole title, Voice of Reason Radio, because there's more than one Voice of Reason, as we discovered after we created the show. So we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to see you share the links, because we hope we're being a blessing to you. We look forward to talking to you next time. God bless. We'll see you then.